Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Once again, it's good to be in church. And if you're visiting with us, great to have you with us too. Wherever you've come from, God bless you this morning. Can we turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18? I'm going to read from the New King James Version. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which she is conceived is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Everyone say Jesus. Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Christmas is God's amazing grace bestowed on you and I. The carols will be gone for another year, although they did a pretty modern good job this morning, didn't they, the guys? Yeah, well done, guys. The decorations will come down. Who'd like to keep the Christmas decorations up all year? Some of you, yes. The Christmas lights will be switched off. The Christmas trees will be packed away. But Jesus hasn't packed up or gone home. He's with us right now. You know, we have our holiday seasons occasionally. Andrew and I, we go on leave. We actually had some leave earlier this year for about a week. And we went to an island quite remote in northern Sulawesi, which is the far tip of Indonesia. And my wife and I like to go scuba diving, and Andrea was snorkeling because it was very safe. There's no sharks in Indonesia. That's what I told her anyway. And I did see a couple, but I didn't let her know that I'd seen them. And they were down deep anyway, so what difference does it make? Anyway, so I went diving every day, and it was this beautiful reef. They were just walls of reef and all these fish and sea snakes and lots of lovely things that you didn't want to touch, but they're good to look at. And I didn't want it to end. Like all holidays, they do come to an end. But like all things in this life, they come to an end. Jesus was born that day. It was a beginning, not an end. Jesus was born. It was a beginning, not an end. Can anybody celebrate with me this morning that it's the beginning, not the end? You have, let me read you some scriptures this morning. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. All things become new. I know the plans I have for you, not for evil, to give you a hope and a future. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Right now, God. In the future, God. He's renewing your life because he's God. He's the Almighty. He's the creator of the universe. And here's another scripture. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. God saw a planet and a people he cared for deeply spinning out of control. And instead of turning and looking the other way, he wrapped his son in human flesh and birthed him to a blue-collar family. Later on, when Jesus grew up and began his itinerant ministry, he taught fearlessly. He confronted injustice courageously. He healed people supernaturally. He loved people at levels that people had never, ever seen before. And then he died an atoning death for the wrongdoings of everyone who ever lived. After which he was resurrected and then ascended back to God the Father. Christmas isn't just about a baby. It's about how Jesus wrote himself into our lives. And that's the title of my message this morning. Jesus wrote himself into our lives. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus wrote himself into your life. You see, the first thing I want to say this morning is that Christmas is inclusive. Christmas is what? Inclusive. It's not exclusive. It's what? Inclusive. Look at this. But while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph wanted to hide Mary to lessen the shame. And when you've done something wrong, all you want to do is cover it up or try and make the mistake go away somehow. My wife was talking with me in the car about a few weeks ago. And she was saying, you know that rule we've got about finances, how we need to share with one another when we spend over a certain amount of money. And I couldn't remember. Or maybe I chose not to remember. And Andrea says to me, I'd had this free gift that I was in this beauty parlor and they wanted me to spend $400 on this treatment to make myself beautiful. And it was like all this, I don't know, they put mud on your face and all that, you know. And Andrea said, but I know the rule. And I'm slowly sinking down in the chair because Andrea was driving. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. And a gulp comes into my breath and I thought, she's going to find out. Because just yesterday I ordered some drinks for Christmas and it was slightly more than the amount of what we'd agreed upon that we'd talk to one another about. Be sure your sins will find you out. But here's the thing. Joseph hadn't done the wrong thing by Mary at all. God is such an inclusive God. He used Mary and Joseph as the couple to conceive his one and only son into the world through the Holy Spirit. Jesus knows our human nature intimately. He knows we like to think that we are better than what we are. He knows we'd do our best to hide stuff we don't like about ourselves. He knows our feelings, our emotions, our thoughts. The Christmas message is that Jesus wrote himself into your life and mine. And I've heard some stories from other people about how Jesus came into their life. A businessman, he said this, I was alone in a hotel room and I flicked the television off and reached into the bedside table and began to read the Gideon Bible. I had never read one before. God began to speak to me as I read, and it was the beginning of his journey toward Christ. A colleague at work goes to church with a girl he really liked and finds God. He goes into work the following Monday and everyone has a good laugh about how he's found God. But over the next 6 months, the guy has changed so much it makes his colleagues think that they should go on a similar journey. Someone else gets a horrible medical report. We've actually had this situation happen to us when we started our church, Andrew and I, many, many years ago now. Horrible medical report. And it brings them to decision-making time as they face their mortality. I need to find if God is out there. I need to know if he is real. And they start an alpha course and begin to discover God for themselves. God so loved the world. Say it with me. God so loved the world. He gave his only son. That is the Christmas message. He cared too much to turn the other way. The Bible says the virgin shall be with child and bears a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Someone gets laid off work. Someone loses a loved one. Someone goes through a divorce. Someone loses everything. He is still God with us. He is the beginning of your life, and he is bringing new life into those situations we can't control. Joseph and Mary were peasants. He made them a part of his life just the same. Whatever your social class, whatever your race, whatever your culture, whatever your upbringing, he wants to include you in his life. Secondly, there's probably going to be some bumps in the road. We saw this on the video. Quite well done, really. Mary had a big bump in her road. A bump Joseph wanted to get rid of. But it was all part of God's plan for mankind. See, your journey toward God is unlikely to be without a few bumps along the way. Every serious Christ follower has obstacles and barriers they have to overcome on their journey toward Christ. It may be a cynical person. It could be adverse circumstances. You lack support from your family. Maybe it's just doubt or pride. The truth is, nobody walks uninterrupted all the way to Jesus. Nobody. When the angel said to Mary, "Mary, you're going to have a baby, and he will be called the Son of God," Mary accepted what the Lord had said to her. I want to give you an opportunity before we finish our service today to accept that Jesus has written himself into your life. See, the wise men had to deal with an egotistical, paranoid Herod. He would not allow anyone to get into the way of his kingship, no one, not even his own sons. But even so, the wise men did not cave. They continued their journey. They found what they were looking for. They found their king in the stable, or maybe a cave, doesn't really matter. In the place you would not expect, with people they would not expect, God in the flesh, the long-promised king, and they knew he was their God with them. Can you truly say today that God is with you? And may I challenge you today to not let anybody or anything block your path as you do your journey. Do not let a family member deter you. Do not let a cynic deter you. Don't allow one bad religious experience to disillusion you. This is your journey and it matters immensely. Like Mary, will you accept the message of Christmas? Jesus wrote himself into our lives. Thirdly, we can't save ourselves. She will bring forth a son. And Joseph will name him Jesus, which means God saves, because he will save his people from their sins. The Hebrew meaning of Jesus is Savior. When my son Jared was much younger, him and I used to go surfing together. Now he's a big boy. He surfs alone, doesn't need his dad anymore. Well, actually, we still surf together occasionally. And it's good to have my daughter in church this morning, Sarah, back from Sydney. And if you're a pastor here and you've snuck in the door, welcome. And Shane Elliott, saw you there in the corner. Welcome, mate. What was I saying? When Jared was, we'd go to this surf break south of Mandurah. It was quite early one morning and there was only one other guy out surfing with the two of us. And a cray fisherman had this little tiny boat They're called, the Aussie term is tinnies. Not a can, a boat. Just to make sure, you know, like a little 12-foot dinghy. And a crayfisherman had placed his pots in close and the waves were kind of breaking on where he wanted to pull his pots. And a particular wave was really strong, and actually I watched it in slow motion as the boat took him and he rolled upside down, the boat rolled back up again and things are going everywhere. And he lands on this piece of reef and he's just stuck there. And the first thing I thought was, serves him right. None of you have ever thought that, have you? And then the other surfer that wasn't Jared, because, you know, Jared was a young tacker, the young guy goes, do you think we better help him? I thought, yeah, I think we better help him. And so anyway, this guy wasn't as tall as me. And he struggled a lot more to try and get this guy back get all his stuff and get him back in the water. But I managed to push him back out through this deeper water and maneuver his little boat back out into safety, out of the breakers. I could have done nothing, but I chose to do something. And there are simply some things that we cannot do on our own. We need a Saviour. He could have done nothing. He could have done nothing. But he chose to be our Saviour. The Bible says he will save his people from their sins. He gave up his life for you. Whatever your nationality, race, social class, his entire life was based on turning toward humanity. See, people have said to me, what matters is that you live a good life. That's what matters. And when you say what matters is that you live a good life, that's actually a doctrine. And that doctrine states, I am actually not so bad that I need a Saviour. I am actually not so messed up that I can't pull it together and lead a good enough life. The other issue that when you say, I will live a good life, I will be a good person, you're making out that you have every facet of your life and your future covered. It's like you are God. And what I haven't told you about the incident with this little tinny boat and this crayfisher man, he said he got his engine started after a few goes because it had tumbled upside down, you know. He got it going again. And he sped off without even acknowledging what I had done for him. In saving his boat, getting his catch back into his boat. And what he didn't know was that the reef was sharp. And it had cut into my feet as I helped the boat get free. You don't want to live your life thinking you don't need a Saviour, ignoring what he has done for you. He took the cuts. He took the deep lacerations, the spear in his side because he was on task to save you. Don't be that proud, that sure of yourself. Seriously, who are you kidding? He was pushing you out into safety. He was freeing your soul. He was giving you another chance at this life with him beside you, your Saviour. It is impossible for us to become God, so he became human. He knows what we need. We often think that we have it all together, but the truth is that if we're honest with ourselves, none of us do. Jesus didn't settle for identifying with us. He became one of us. And it says in Hebrews 2, verse 14, because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, Jesus also became flesh and blood by being born in human form. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who has the power of death. He was born a human so that he would not only identify us with us, but that he would truly know us. Jesus understands our suffering. He understands our pain. Like us, he was tempted. He understands our relationships, even the difficult ones. He gets it. So I want us to take a moment to think about what Jesus has done for you. He was supernaturally conceived. He made himself nothing. The bruising, the battering he took, and he rose from the dead, conquered sin and death in your life. The fisherman stuck on the reef. I had to manoeuvre him off for a couple of big rocks he was wedged between so that he would no longer be stuck any longer. Jesus was purposeful in freeing you from the snags of sin. Repeating the same mistakes over and over and helping you get unstuck. Death can have no lasting effect over your life. He was committed to being your saviour no matter the cost. No matter how many mistakes you make, no matter whether you think you're not progressing in an area, he's paid the price. He's your saviour. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be with you for the rest of your life. May we stand to our feet, please, today. See, the point is this. Jesus has gone to infinite lengths to save you. Infinite. Matthew 1:23, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and he will be called Emmanuel, meaning God is with us.